Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong? Too deadly. Now, Awakening Spirits, that's a journey of storytelling through performance. All happening at the PCYC, Mackay Awakening Spirits. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn there with Maxine Woods, who's the club manager at PCYC Mackay. On the line, Maxine, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good. And yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Congratulations. We have the Awakening Spirits, another performance happening, a journey of storytelling through performance. So tell us about this fantastic event. And it's an annual event, isn't it, Maxine?
Yeah, so it's actually our third year of running this big event, but it's just a culmination of our K program, which is our cultural and arts in dance, which we have about 11 schools that jump in and that Patrick Friday goes to, and they dance and connect with their culture through dance and arts, really. It's a really awesome program.
So Patrick Friday, a performer, choreographer, so he's at the table regarding the Awakening Spirits, yes?
Yeah, definitely. So he actually performed with the Bungara Dance Theatre for quite a few years and has actually brought a lot of that into his teaching and choreograph with the kids.
And the performance is happening on the 17th of October, Mackay Entertainment Centre Convention Centre. How do people get their tickets?
Yeah, so they're free tickets. You've just got to jump onto the MEC website and just secure your tickets. You can get five at a time. So if you've got a family that wants to come down and come and see us, yeah, definitely.
All right, fantastic. And a one-off performance, is it?
Yeah, so we've just got the one performance that we do yearly, and that's a new dance that the kids perform every year. And then we also have our Elder Women's Group, the Women's Cultural Group United, that'll do a guest performance on the night as well.
Okay, and with the Awakening Spirits, choreographed by Patrick Thiday, do you know how many performers are on stage at one time?
So at one time, it just depends on the sizing of the school. We have 195 performers all up on the night. But, yeah, anything could range from about 10 kids to about 30 kids on the stage at a time.
We're talking primary school or high school?
A bit of both, actually. Cool. So he's got, I think, three high schools that we've got, and the rest are primary schools.
Fantastic. So it's also a fantastic event which educates First Nation culture and also entertains.
Yeah, definitely. So like I said, it's a contemporary Indigenous dance that Patrick Thiday has been putting together. And he does incorporate a lot of stories, especially from our local Yui Nation descendants.
Well, hats off to PCYC, Mackay Awakening Spirits, Mactown. It's all happening in Mactown. And, look, thank you for talking with us, Maxine. Big shout-out to your team and big shout-out to Patrick Thiday and the work that he's doing, sister.
Will do. Thank you. Hopefully we see you all there.
Take care, Dale. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. Maxine Woods, her name is, PCYC Mackay Club Manager, and that's Mackay, North Queensland, Mactown they call it. Awakening Spirits, a journey of storytelling through performance, and PCYC's First Nation program is called CAID, C-A-I-D, which acronym for Cultural Arts in Dance. So fantastic. And Patrick Thiday, former Bungara dance performer, and now he's there choreographing this fantastic show and fantastic event, which is great to see, all at the Mackay Entertainment Convention Centre on the 17th of October, 5:30 p.m. Bookings are essential, so do check out the Mackay Entertainment Convention Centre or check out PCYC Mackay, and you'll be able to purchase tickets and actual purchase. They're free tickets, but you can book your seats, so to speak, and five at a time. So there it is. Have you saying yarn up strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have You Seen Yarn Up Strong or National Talk Black, Too Deadly.
Everything. G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Their island
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your saver calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, Southeast Mob take first steps to career in surfing. First Nation surfers from the southeast took the first steps to becoming accredited surf coaches at Pumbula Beach, and that's all happening. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Lachlan Clark, Director, Southern Region at the Office of Sports, and on the line we have Lachlan. Good morning, Lachlan. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor, and I'm calling in from beautiful Narragoo country on the Snow Mountains in New South Wales.
Fantastic, and I was just going to say, my brother, there's no surf up there in the mountains, but tell us about this fantastic opportunity for First Nation surfers.
Thanks, Trevor. So New South Wales Office of Sport has partnered with Surfing New South Wales and the Bega Local Aboriginal Land Council to provide training for 10 local First Nation surfers from the far south coast, providing them with the skills and knowledge to become accredited surf coaches. So there's a mix of adults and students, and they're completing their foundation surf course.
Good.
And the students undertook the surf coach essentials course. The idea, Trevor, is that you know that the community are able to deliver surfing down there at Pambula.
Look, fantastic! You look at our mob; a very how you say, and they've got a lot of rhythm, they've got a lot of balance. I would say that they would pick up surfing like fish in water, brother.
Yes, so this comes on the back of a previous Surfing with the Mob funding program from regional New South Wales, and that's exactly what the community found.
Yes.
And we wanted to work with the partners and the Bega Lau to work out how to make it sustainable, you know, and we've done that by working in New South Wales to train local community members and also to provide a trailer with surfboards and wetsuits so that they can be self-sufficient.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, this could be a career pathway for black surfers, as in black surf coaching?
Absolutely. Also, not only surf coaches, lifeguards or other surf-related roles. So
good.
We're really excited that, you know, the community might see this as a career pathway.
So we're talking boys and girls, men and women?
Yes, boys and girls, men and women.
Yep.
And, you know, we're working closely down there with the Bega Lau Community Connector, Robbie Townsend, and he's really got the local community excited about getting involved.
Yeah, fantastic. So do we know of any First Nation surfers out there or surf coaches?
Look, I know that there's previously competed in events down into Victoria.
Okay.
So yes, there are some. I don't off the top of my head, I don't have the names, but
sure.
I know that's been a bit of a sort of an inspiration for why we would focus on surfing as a sport. And really, this from the New South Wales Office of Sports perspective, this is really part of our commitment to facilitating access to sport and active recreation for all people in New South Wales.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And look, doors could open up in regard to future black surfers who get on the worldwide circuit of surfing worldwide. It could be a great opportunity.
Absolutely. And having the skills down there to get on that pathway and no barriers to participation, you know, and the community can go forth as long as they need to in terms of providing these services, the opportunities for local kids and community members.
Look, I know up here in far north Queensland, like Cairns is on mangroves, you know, mud flaps, so no surf up here, and plus we're allergic to crocodiles, brother.
Yes, well, the reef there keeps the waves down, but the far south coast is a bit of a surfing mecca, so
yes.
It's an ideal spot to be undertaking this.
Good, no, fantastic. Look, it's great to hear, and a big shout out to the potential coaches, surf coaches. Fantastic what Southern Region at the Office of Sport is doing, and congratulations, Lachlan, And please do keep in touch, my friend.
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about the program.
You take care. All the best to you. Keep smiling, bro.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. That's Lachlan Clark, Director, Southern Region at the Office of Sport. And we're talking about First Nations surfers from Southeast took the first steps to becoming accredited surf coaches at Pembula Beach. Down there in New South Wales, look fantastic in partnership with the New South Wales Office of Sport and Surfing with the Mob. Surfing New South Wales delivered the training to 10 local First Nations surfers, providing them with the skills and knowledge to become accredited surf coaches. A fantastic opportunity. And there it is. And you can add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy country. That's BBM Bumbadbip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the country thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, new mob. National Talk Black, too deadly.
Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootshopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
silence lies over the Salawata. Where my people have lost their lives. From diving for pearl shell, for purpose, for money. This working place, you me call it. All ground or key. Aki manda na e black swan ae.
is Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Curry, I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumrabib Media 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number 1-800-422-416. All right, we're talking about the Telstra Business Awards, the Telstra Best of Business Awards, and we're going to catch up a yarn now with Corey Tutt, founder of Deadly Science and New South Wales Telstra Best of Business Awards Indigenous Excellence Category winner. And we have Corey on the line. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, brother. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Where you from, Corey?
Yeah, I'm Gamilla Roy, and I'm from The Gate, but I'm coming from you from Biripi Country in Port Macquarie.
Too deadly, beautiful country, and big shout-out to your mob there, brother. And look, you're the founder of Deadly Science, and hats off, congratulations, Deadly Science, the Indigenous Excellence Category winner for a New South Wales Telstra Best of Business Awards, meaning there goes the name, Deadly Science, but how deadly you mob?
Oh, it's so good, eh? It's a real credit to all the communities. And, you know, I've been coming on this program since 2018.
Yes,
and it's, for those that followed the journey, it's been a lot of hard work. And, you know, it's nice because, yeah, like, you know, I get all the accolades being the founder, but I really get to share this with the staff and the community and the directors and all the volunteers and the donors and everyone that helps us.
Team effort, brother. Team effort.
It's a team effort, yeah.
So for our Deadly listeners, Corey, just explain Deadly Science, who you mob and what do you actually do, brother?
Yeah, so I'm Gamilla Roy Man, and I started Deadly Science, and we provide STEM resources and we go out to schools, run workshops. We run online workshops all over Australia.
Yes.
With all the mob. We put the deadly in STEM.
Yeah,
you know,
beautiful.
We put the deadly in science. And we're black fellas, and we're teaching, you know, teaching our kids about our history and our culture, but also connecting them to, you know, the jobs of the future and whatnot.
Well, exactly. And when you look at 60,000 years on planet Earth, we were scientists, we were professors, we were entrepreneurs in all facets, all industries. It's just coming to the surface in the white man world, you could say.
Yeah, look, and it's one of those ones, brother, where we go two steps forward, one step back, but we really are getting there. And, you know, it's really important that kids learn about our knowledge systems and how we did things because, you know, with the questions of the future, we need to know as much about our past as possible. So sometimes the answers of the past are the answers for the future, you know.
So you'd find that the so-called scientists of the world would come to the table to open up conversations with our black scientists, would they not?
Yes and no. I think that, you know, a lot science, STEM itself is, you know, the whole industry is getting a bit more progressive, but...
Yep.
You know, there's power dynamics at play, right? And we got to break those power dynamics down.
Yes.
So that, you know, we're not just, you know, invited to the table. We are on the table. You know,
yeah,
we
sure.
are the
exactly.
table.
Exactly.
And that's really important because, you know, we don't want tokenistic seats. We want to be in charge of our future.
Yep.
We want our own destiny mapped out. And what we've got to do is we've got to not run ticker box programs.
Mm.
We've got to run practical programs that give our kids confidence, skills. You know, the connection to culture is easy, right? That's easy. It's in our DNA. It's who we are. But we need to give our kids the best chance possible.
Yeah, no, so true, brother. And you would say that the scientists come to the table, but they come virtually as students with an open mind and open heart. And if they're true to the so-called industry or to their profession, they should be open-minded to learn of the First Nation people, First Nation Deadly Science people, yes?
Most definitely, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. And it's really important that they, you know, that Western knowledge is, you know, like it's all science, right?
Of course
traditional
it is.
Knowledge is science through a different lens.
Mm.
And to be a good scientist and to be a good knowledge holder, you have to have the ability to see things in different ways.
And quickly tell us your story, Corey, in regard to your position, hat you wear, and your background. Where'd you come into, well, the love of science? But tell us your background and education, please, brother.
So how I got into science was spending a lot of time on country at Lightning Ridge and down in Humby Bay in South Australia. I loved reptiles growing up. And yep. I wanted to be the blackfella Steve Irwin. but yes. I love just nature and picking up reptiles and learning about them. And then I left school at 16. I didn't have the best upbringing, and the old young mob out there, like I didn't get the golden ticket, so to say.
So you didn't finish grade 12, brother?
Didn't finish grade 12, actually. Mm. I actually went the long way around, and that's okay as well.
That's okay as well, okay, yes, exactly.
To not get an HSC, you can find yourself in a career in science. And what I did is I went and worked in a wildlife sanctuary.
Okay.
And then I worked at a zoo, and then I became a shearer as well, and then I did a dog training certificate, and then I became a medical researcher for work. I studied whilst I was working. So, you know,
there's the passion.
There's many ways to get around the tree, everyone's got their own journey, and there's going to be potholes and bumps along the way. Sure. But, you know, being a good person first is more important than, you get there in your own time.
Yeah, and your journey is your journey, and we are students for life, are we not?
We're always students, always learning. You know, I don't think I go a day without learning something new, and that's really important.
Fantastic. And so here you are now, Head Up Deadly Science. You're the founder of that organisation. So is it a private business as such, or you funded, or how's it work?
No, it's a charity, so it's a not-for-profit. It's a DDR not-for-profit, and we've got a really great bunch of directors and staff, and, you know, it's just like-minded people that want to create STEM equity, you know, that want to help our young people have access to the things that they deserve to have access to.
And, sure.
And what we're doing is we're decolonising the lab coat, brother. You know, every time, you know, previously when I'd go to community, I ask kids what a scientist looks like, and they give me a deposit sketch of Albert Einstein. But now they're starting to see, you know, they're starting to see our people as scientists.
Black face with a black afro, a black...
bloody hell, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
And it's really important. It's
black
really
Einstein.
Important because we had to change fundamentally how young people saw scientists, because it was making it inaccessible to young people.
Yeah, sure. Would you have communication with our black scientists, educated scientists? Are they at the table?
Yeah, we do. Good. For example, you know, we had Gamilaroi man Jacob Birch. He's a plant scientist.
Good.
And he looks at all our native foods and things back home.
Yes.
And he just did a session with Walgett Community School. And, you know, you can't be what you can't see,
sure.
But it's important to give platforms to our ones that are in STEM.
Yes.
Because if we can give a platform to our mob in STEM that are already here, then our kids can see themselves.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Well, once again, my brother, congratulations, Deadly Science. New South Wales Telstra Best of Business Awards Indigenous Excellence Category winner. You are true winners, and thank you for sharing. Keep doing what you're doing, my brother. All the best to your Deadly students, and we'll see you at the top, Corey.
Thank you, Trevor. Take care.
You take care, brother. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
A Deadly Yarn there. Corey Tutty's name is founder of Deadly Science, and they were the award winners, Indigenous Excellence Category winners, for the New South Wales Telstra Best of Business Awards to Deadly, leading from the front, and true success. This is your Deadly program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country as BBM Bumbleboop Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong on National Talk Black. Too Deadly.
This is Iomar.